Hey everyone, thank you for joining me today as we continue walking through the strange Paradiso. As I have been saying for maybe about a week now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the movie They Live and how there may be a connection to some of the things such as the Mandela effect, okay? And some other things. I mean, this is all theory. As a matter of fact, the entire movie, They Live, is a theory. Because there are many who say, oh, that movie is a conspiracy theory movie and blah, blah, blah. Well, that may be true. All right. I mean, the theory part, when they add that first word to it, that's where they lose me. Because, that whole term was generated so many years ago for anyone who questioned the validity of the then narrative about the JFK assassination. They just created this term for these people. That way the people would be silenced because they did not want to be called conspiracy theorists. Okay. So anyways, first of all, I want to start off by saying that there is nothing new under the sun. Many of the things that we see today, as far as like technology even, all right, and certain things that are happening, it's all been done before. Maybe not as in detail as it is now. Maybe not as advanced as it is now. But it has all been done before. I believe that that's one of the reasons why in school, when we were talking about history and studying, you know, the old empires and all of this stuff, we were taught that these primitive people and their ways were so crude and they really didn't know anything. They were not advanced and so on. And so you had the caveman and you had the people in the dark ages and all this stuff. Well, I don't believe that is true because some of the things that have been unearthed, some of the things that have been found by archaeologists proves otherwise. Also, some of the things that have been found have been confiscated and hidden away. Because then they would have to rewrite the history books. And then some people would be called out. Some agencies would be called out. But anyways, getting back to the movie. So this guy, and I haven't seen the movie. I was going to try to watch it again before I came on and talked about it. But I really don't have time. So I'm just going to say what I know, what I recall about the movie, all right? This guy somehow gets these sunglasses. Oh, and before I continue, a spoiler alert, okay? If you just came on and you didn't hear the other episode from last week about They Live, you might want to go back and hear that first, all right? Because this will be a spoiler alert to many of you who haven't seen this movie or who don't even know about this movie, okay? So anyways, this guy who, the actor was actually a wrestler. He was like one of those WWF wrestlers back in the 80s and stuff, Rowdy Roddy Piper. So he plays a part of this guy who somehow finds these sunglasses or anyways, he ends up with these sunglasses and he notices that when he puts them on and he looks at billboards, all of a sudden, the billboards are saying something completely different than what they say when he takes the glasses off. And certain people, when he has the glasses on, they look monstrous. They don't look like people. So this is like an awakening for this guy. And he's just like, what's happening here? So anyways, besides there being nothing new under the sun, I'm going to be a little bit all over the place, okay, with this, guys? Just bear with me. Besides, there is nothing new under the sun, all right? Back in, I think it was sometime in the 80s, there was a big word, I mean, that we had never heard before, and it was called subliminal. And so what people were saying was that there were subliminal messages in some of the music and in some of the TV shows and commercials, as well as in the billboards. So it was these things that, like, we couldn't see with our eyes, but somehow with our mind's eye, our mind would recognize certain things. So in this subliminal commercial for KFC, all of a sudden you would get like an urge to go and get some, and subliminal messages in the music would cause you to behave in a certain way, and so on. So that is something that I remember back, I want to say it's back in maybe the mid 80s, okay? And when this movie came out. So these things in the billboards were subliminal messages. So that's why he couldn't see it with his eyes. He can only see them when he put those, I believe they were sunglasses, when he put these sunglasses on. So this movie kind of fell in line with much of the stuff that we were being told. And I guess that back then, because there was no alternative media back then, because there was no internet, at least not for the public. So it was a movie that was a little bit ahead of its time. We have heard from many different outlets for many years that there are certain groups that must tell us about things that they are going to do before they do it. No matter how cryptic their message is, they must put it out there before they do it. They have to let the people know. But the majority of the time, we can't see it. We don't realize that there's some kind of message out there. Just like when you see The Simpsons, and supposedly there are all kind of messages in there. Okay, that is these groups who have to tell the people what's going to happen, because they're going to cause certain things to happen. So it said, okay, that they must tell the people before they cause these whatever events to happen, okay? So if we go back all the way to 1985, when this movie came out, I mean, that's a long time ago. And what's happening now? So I guess this movie was not only telling the people about an event, but it was telling the people of many events. And regardless how we feel about this, I mean, you have to admit, there are some compelling scenes in this movie. Okay, one of them that I want to share with you, I believe that, and I don't know what his name was in the movie, but the lead character, the guy who gets these sunglasses, okay, he's in either a bookstore or like a Blockbuster video store. And in the background, there are two books. And if you find that scene, you'll see that one of the books that are in the background is a book, one of the books by Carlos Castaneda. Now, the other one, I don't recall which book it is, but it is also something that speaks to us about certain events. If you can find that scene, I know you can. It's like, okay, if we just took that movie for entertainment, didn't think anything else about it, now there's kind of like a puzzle that's starting to form. There are other messages or hints, whatever you want to call it, in this movie. Once again, guys, it's been a long time since I've seen this. So I'm just saying what I know, what I recall, all right? Okay, so now, more recently, I saw a meme. And this person now, regardless of how anyone feels about him, if we loathe this person or if we love this person or if we are indifferent about this person, all right? He is a very high profile individual. And that is our ex-president, the 45th president, okay? And in this meme, he looks like one of these people that the guy with the sunglasses could see. That distorted face. And he's standing there. And it says his name, okay? And 2024. So it's like somebody went back to that movie and created this meme to bring it up to our time. And it just catches you so quickly, because I also believe that this meme is in black and white. And it caught my eye so quickly because I remember the movie, They Live. So when I saw that face, I realized that, okay, there's a connection to this and it's just a meme and the movie. But it got me thinking about the Mandela effect and how this could be a creation by, let's say, some others, some agencies, and so on, okay? It may not be what we think it is. I'm not saying that I have the answers, but I'm just saying maybe we should take a look at this. So is this now AI generated? Is the Mandela effect AI generated? Okay, and you may say, well, no, because the Mandela effect has been going on for too long and there was no AI back then. But I believe that, yes, there was. I believe that this artificial intelligence technology has gone back so many years. Just because it's new to us doesn't mean it's new. It does not mean it's a brand new technology. Remember, there is nothing new under the sun. It's new to us. It's like somebody getting a used car, okay? It's that person's new car. It's new to that person who just bought it, even though the car is not new. How many times have you heard somebody got a new car and they say, oh, you got a new car? Yeah, it's a 2018, but see, it's new to the person. That's the same thing that's happening here. So there could very well be a connection. I feel, all right? I'm not saying that this is carved in stone and this is how it is, but my mind just, when I saw that meme, it was like, hey, wait a minute. If I didn't know any better, I would have thought that particular scene was from the movie. Once again, it's been a really long time, okay? It could be from the movie. But it had the image of the 45th president on it with that grotesque face brought up to our timeline. So I believe that there is a possibility that the Mandela effect is AI generated. Some of you may say, well, then how do you explain some of the books being changed? Some of the books that people have owned for a while, and now some of the wording is changed and so on. I can't even explain that when I think about the collision of the universes, okay? when there could be such a collision that we talk about, we've spoke about many times before, of our universe and others, okay? Like the parallel universes, and things can change in an instant. I can't even explain how these type of things would change, let's say, some Bible verses. How would that change some of the words to a song? Or the Berenstain Bears or the Berenstain Bears? I don't know. I cannot explain that. Did things the way they were in our realm switch in another as well? Did they just kind of like trade places? But I'm beginning to look at this Mandela effect in a completely different way. It's food for thought. I mean, it's something that I feel we can probably delve deeper into and just see. I mean, it could just all be a bunch of hoo-ha. It could just be like one of those things that I thought, but I was wrong, okay? And if that's the case, I admit it freely. But I believe that we should take a look at all of the things, not just in the front, but in the back, sideways. I mean, at every angle, we should take a look at these things. So that is what I wanted to share with you. Now, how does this have anything to do with the movie? Well, besides the movie and all of these others, people who study this kind of stuff and who have been talking about this for many years, saying that, well, these certain agencies have to let us know what they're going to do before they do it and so on. I feel that that was kind of like perhaps a breakthrough back then in the 1980s. And it's been so long ago also that it's like, well, just because it's been like 40 years ago, we still told you. How many people even pay attention to that stuff anymore? How many people would even watch that movie? And when you see it, and I told you guys before, it's campy because to me, it looks kind of like a low budget movie from the 80s. So the very beginning of the movie, you may just be like, oh, I don't even want to watch this. It just looks so, like my one family member says, corny. But trust me, guys, it may be camp. It may be, you know, because it looks low budget. It still speaks. If we maybe can get the hint. So it is worth taking maybe a couple of looks at. And there are more things in that movie than just those books. Just that book there in the background by Carlos Castaneda. There's more in there. It just takes a little time to be able to catch on to these things. And if you know who Carlos Castaneda is also. So it's weaving a story within a story there. So if you're interested in this at all, take a look. Just take a look and see what you find, what you feel about this. But this whole AI thing, because I've been thinking about this for a while, I know that there's nothing new. I know that there isn't. Everything, life is circular. It all goes in a circle. Everything old is new and so on, okay? I mean, just look at fashion. Just look at certain types of, I mean, you name it, that people do. And I talk about it with other people, you know, some of my friends and stuff like that. And I was telling them one day, yeah, you know what's going to make a comeback one of these days? Like when you go to the little drugstore or whatever, and you're going to be able to go to the fountain and get like a snack and a soda or whatever. Those are going to make a comeback at some point. See, so it's not new. Just like we were talking about the automat, okay? I know that many places are going to lay workers off. Many in the food industry are going to be laid off. They're going to be let go. And they're going to bring automation. Yes, everything's going to be automated in many of the different food industries. And it's all been done before. It's not new. And if I hadn't known people who were older, who told me about these things, I wouldn't know that you could order food without a person and get your food back in the 60s or 50s, whenever it happened. And think about it. If they could do it back then, they can do it now and even more efficiently. No problem. So the more that I look at these things, I realize that that is a very true statement. There is nothing new under the sun. Pretty crazy, isn't it? There's it's like a never-ending parade. And it seems we've been lied to about so many things. When I think about school and I think about history, and I remember even back when I was a little kid looking at the pyramids and thinking, there's just no way. There is no way they could have built those pyramids the way that we're being told, or they'd still be building them. I mean, come on. And the way that these things are put together, people in our timeline say, we couldn't even do this. We can't even slip a piece of paper between these, whatever they are, these slabs or whatever. We can't do this today. So when they talk to me about, oh, these primitive societies, I know that there are some out there, all right? I know that there are always going to be these more primitive societies who are maybe living in the jungle and stuff like that. But when we are talking about the big society, when we're talking about Egypt, Rome, Greece, no, these were advanced civilizations. They were not like coming out, dragging their knuckles on the ground, scratching their heads, wondering what fire was. No, what a bunch of hoo-ha that is. But anyways, that's for a later discussion, okay? We'll talk about some of that at another time. All right. So, the next thing I want to say, and then I'm going to leave this subject alone. When we were talking about, or when I was just saying about how some of the words in books, how some of the words in music and on the books and so on have changed because of the Mandela effect. Well, there is also something else that we have to figure besides AI, all right? But is it possible that this technology, this artificial intelligence, is it possible that it can and has the ability to perhaps manipulate the dimensions? It can, because when you think about it, let's think about a collision, okay? So there's that collision, and then it goes back to where it was. So I don't know how long it would last when the worlds collide. I don't know how long. Is it seconds? Is it days? Years? But maybe with the manipulation also comes the ability to change certain minute things. We are talking about something that's extreme, all right? This thing is, in my opinion, it's just me, okay? This thing is spiritual. This thing is more than just a technology. This is something I feel that has been conjured and invited to inhabit this so-called technology. And whatever this thing is very, very, I mean, it's ancient. It's very wise. It's very patient. And this is not its first rodeo. Oh, no. No. I don't believe so. And when I look at Egypt and the hieroglyphics, that's one of the reasons that I can say this with confidence. And we will talk about this later on, okay? We will get into it a little bit more. One of the problems I have is that I don't have a whole lot of time on here. I have like less than an hour, so I have to try to squeeze everything in, all right? So I do the best that I can, but I want you guys to contact me. Let me know how you feel about this. Give me some of your ideas. Let's kick it around a little bit, all right? And my contact info, maybe_Maria@outlook.com. Because this is something that's really, really big. And I believe that we can take this much further. If you're interested in it. Okay. Now, moving on. Now, I didn't know about this either because I really don't think about this a whole lot. But you know CERN. You know what CERN is, the particle collider, and how the big, huge one is in, like, Switzerland and so on. And they're making another one. And the one that's already there is so huge, it takes up like Switzerland and part of France and this and that. Well, I had no idea that there are at least 8 of them, 8 CERNs in the United States. Now, they must be smaller. Okay, but why do we need 8? Why do we need 1? What's happening here? And it says at least 8, which leads me to believe that there are probably more, but 8 that whoever wrote this article, 8 that this author is aware of. Well, why do we even need 1, let alone 8? I mean, this is another thing that's very interesting to me, all right? And I have to put this under theory because it's not like I've been anywhere and seen this with my own eyes. It's not that I've been anywhere and seen the grand opening or have been there in the lab to see what they're doing or whatever the heck, all right? So I have to put it under theory. Even though I truly believe that these things are true. What are they doing with these? Well, my opinion is that because so much of what we see going on right now is spiritual, so much of what we see going on with the behaviors of people as far as high profile and so-called government and so on is spiritual. Seems to me that it's all spiritual, but it's negative spirit. So if there are 8 here, at least, they are probably placed in vital areas. And dare I say where I think some of these areas are, you could probably figure it out for yourself. Look at where the most harm is being done. And there is probably one there. When you look around and look at the behaviors, the patterns, how people are just seeming to like throw us under the bus. I hate to use that term, but throw us under something bigger than the bus. Actually, let's just say throw us under the hemet, okay? Those of you military, you know what a hemet is. So it's like we've been thrown under the hemet, okay? Okay, moving on. Let's see. Oh, now this is something that I heard, okay? but I have experienced something similar to this. This, what I'm going to share with you, I cannot take credit for. This is someone else's story. But this person reports that she was on vacation and she got a notification from her bank, and she had been banking with them for a long time. She never had a problem with her bank. They had the best customer service and so on. So she was getting notifications from her bank that there was like a fraud alert on her card. And she figured, well, I'm on vacation. I can't afford to have this happening and so on. So she called the customer service. They went through all of the purchases. And she said, no, I made all these purchases, but I'm on vacation right now. So it was because she was like in different locations where she made these purchases. So, okay, everything was fine, she figured. But then she continued to get more. So she calls the customer service again. This woman keeps asking her like the same question over and over. Well, this is so-and-so from whatever, 123 Bank. Who do I have the pleasure of speaking to? And so she would tell the name to the customer service agent. And then she said, okay, let me get your, you know, the rest of this. Let me look at your activity. And then she would say again, who do I have the pleasure of speaking with? So the customer told her again, told her her name again. And then this customer service rep asked her, oh, and what is the name? And what is the rest of her information? And she starts thinking, what the heck's going on here? She didn't call the number that was on her notification. She was smarter than that. So she actually went and called the number to the bank. You know, sometimes you'll get like a text and it'll say something about your banking and call that number. Well, she didn't do that. She called the actual bank number. And now she has this person on the other line, the so-called customer service rep, who keeps asking her her name and asking her the same things over and over. So finally, the representative starts going through all the purchases, and yes, and she tells her, yes, that is my purchase, but the numbers were askew, okay? So if she would have went to, for example, Target and bought something for $500, like $520. The rep said, okay, I have a purchase here at Target for $5.20. And the customer was like, no, I made a purchase at Target. It was $520. And the representative said, no, I have here $5.20. So this conversation continued to go in that direction. Okay, and I have another purchase here for like $180. And then the customer says, no, it was for $18. Okay, so this was like going nowhere. So finally, the representative said, okay, well, yes, there is a fraud alert on your card. So I went ahead and I shut your card, I turned it off, and you'll be getting a new one in the mail within like 10 business days. And then she said, no, you can't do that. I need my card. I'm on vacation. And the rep tells her, have a great day. Bye. So she says, I'm sitting there thinking, what in the heck just happened here? She said, I was like frustrated and shocked. What happened? So when she finally got it together, she called the bank again. And this time she talked to this man and she was telling him, is there any way you can change this? I'm on vacation. The last customer service representative turned off my card and I can't do that right now. I need my card and so on. And she said he was quiet for a moment and he said, your card is fine. It's not turned off. He said, and I see where you called like earlier and that was all taken care of. He said, but I don't see the call you made, like the second call. He said, there's no log of that call or that happening at all. There's no transaction, no nothing. And she said, well, I just called 20 minutes ago and I spoke to someone, name, whatever. And he said, it's not here. And your card is fine. Everything is fine. The fraud notification is gone. So on and so on. So she's like, okay, what happened? What did I experience? How did this happen? She said, the woman who I spoke to, who kept asking me my name and all this stuff, seemed to understand what I was talking about, even though she kind of like acted against me. What happened? It's not the fact of the card and being turned off or even the fraud, because she said there actually was no fraud. Her question was, what was I dealing with? And how is there no log of it at the bank, at their customer service? I believe that somehow the person that she contacted was in a parallel universe. I do not feel that the person that she spoke to was here in our realm. Strange as it sounds, but there have been other things that have happened with phone calls. We know this. A lot of other things that have happened. And I have had similar experiences. I've had weird phone calls. I've had people on the other end where I could like barely hear them. Sounded like they were like in a real windstorm and I could barely hear them. I've had calls from, remember my call from hell? 666-666-666. They were all sixes. Yes. So it seems to me, and I don't know how often or if this kind of thing ever happened with like the landline, with the hardline phones. I don't know about those, but it seems like since cell phones came into the hands of the majority of the population, more of these things have been happening. So somehow, with the cell phone, seems that perhaps from time to time, there is some sort of communication or the ability, okay, to have this type of communication with a different universe. Maybe it's the closest one to us. Maybe it's during a collision. I don't know. And if any of you know people who had landlines and who had like these types of experiences, I would really like to know. It would be a little more difficult, I feel, to know, because you know, like those old-fashioned home phones didn't display a phone number. There was no digital display. Your phone rang and either you answered it or you didn't, or you waited to listen to that voicemail, that old-fashioned like recording thing that you could listen to. A lot of people would screen their calls that way at their home phone, because otherwise you didn't have a clue of who was calling because there was no display. So when that recording thing came on and you would hear, hi, so-and-so, this is your mother. And then you'd know, okay, I can pick up the phone. So how often did this type of thing happen, or did it happen at all, okay, with a landline? seems to me, once again, with the cell phone. And maybe, let me see, when did that happen? No, that happened with me. Let me see. Back in 06. So I had a BlackBerry back then. In like 2006. And those things were happening back then. Yeah. So seems like with the advent of the smartphone, okay, things like that, maybe it began to happen more. I don't know, because I don't recall it happening like on the first cell phones that were available to us, like those flip phones. I don't recall it happening on one of those, but it's been so long ago. I mean, maybe it did. I used to have this like Katana phone, and that was like, it wasn't a smartphone, but back then it could connect to internet, okay? So it was like, ooh, wow. I don't think it happened on that. But anyways, yeah, it started happening when I had the BlackBerry. All right, now I'm running out of time here, so I've got one more thing to share with you. Now, this person reported that they had an encounter with the night hag. What it started happening earlier in this person's apartment was there was some kind of motion sensor in their apartment that when you walked by a certain area, the light would go on. It was kind of like a safety feature that this apartment complex had so that you wouldn't fall in the middle of the night when you were getting up to go to the bathroom, whatever. So there was a motion sensor so that when you walk by, it would automatically turn the lights on and so on. So this person reports that the motion sensor was going off and on, but it was not just going off and on randomly. It was just going off and on like something was toying with it. Like if something was going back and forth, okay? Like off, on, off, on, like that. So that began to happen. And then this person gets up and goes to investigate. But no, she had a cat, but it wasn't the cat because the cat was in its little cat bed. And okay, but when you have an animal still, you kind of like play it off. Oh, it could still be the cat, all right? We try to poo-poo ourselves and second-guess ourselves. But then this person reports that they went back to bed. They got in bed. And could feel something. They could feel a presence in the room. They could actually see a presence. It was like a shadow person, okay? But instead of darting, they could actually see a figure of a person. They saw a dark shadow. Then she could feel something pressing down on her, okay? So it was an encounter with the night hag. And all this is happening. And she can't move. This thing is pressing down on her. And she hears scratching sounds coming from under her bed. Are you kidding me? She said, it was not my cat. There were scratching sounds like coming from under the bed. No flipping way. All right. I'm going to be hearing from under my bed. She said when she was able to finally move, she was too scared to look under her bed. Hello. But she noticed that her cat was still asleep in the little cat, whatever you call it, the cat cozy. She said, I knew it wasn't my cat, even though I tried to convince myself that it was my cat. And many other things happened while living there in that particular apartment. No. Scratching sounds, growling sounds, knocking, tapping over and over again, like relentlessly. I'll pass. No, I'm going to get out of there. Remember we talked a long time ago about certain sounds One of them for me, okay, animal sounds. Trust me, if I was somewhere and I heard like a horse whinnying or a dog growling and I don't have one, things like this, I'm out. No animal sounds or pigs. People have reported this kind of thing. They don't live on a farm. They live in the city and they can hear like the sound of a pig in their house. Are you kidding me right now? It's like, no, those to me are announcements. Those are announcements, guys. And what the announcement is not good at all. Oh, no. Anyways, I got to get going. We're running out of time here. I'm going to try to be back soon as I can. I don't know when that's going to be. I hope I don't have to wait until Monday. But I've got some more really creepy stuff that I'm going to share with you the next time I come back on. This is, you know, I'm out my shack today where I feel free to discuss anything that I want because certain things I don't want to talk about wherever it is you live. Whether you live in a house, an apartment, an RV, wherever you live, there are certain things, this is just my belief, that we don't want to talk about. But in my shack, no, I don't feel that way at all. So hopefully I'll be able to be back by maybe, I don't know, Sunday. But I'm going to try to be back as soon as I can. Trust me, I got some stuff to share. Have a great day. Thank you for joining me. Look into some of the things that I've talked about. I hope that some of this stuff interested you, all right, so that we can take it further. There's so much to talk about. Everybody have a great day. Once again, thank you all. Ciao.